And to invite you as we embark upon this series together, to ask the Spirit to be at work in your life, to do his work of transformation in us as we explore these beautiful things we see in Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at that story we've had read to us. Father, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that we see so perfectly in Jesus. And we pray that as we begin exploring over the next few weeks, love, patience, peace, kindness, that you would do a work in our lives, in us and through us, Lord. Help us be aware of your Spirit as we are looking at your word even now, to speak to us, to put your spotlight in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we are thinking then about the love of Jesus. What does it mean to love in the way that Jesus loves? And so I chose as our reading for this morning, this is the great thing about being able to choose what passage you want to speak on, I chose one of my favourite stories from the life of Jesus. Because it is a story that I believe has love interwoven through every action and every word in this story. Now, this passage is one of the most remarkable incidents in the life of Jesus, the raising of this little girl. It is one of only three instances in the Gospels where we see Jesus bring back someone to life. But today, I want to focus on the smaller, perhaps overlooked story that you get in the middle of our passage today. It isn't a big, glamorous story. It's a kind of along-the-way tale. It's a little side event to the main event. Yet it has the love of Jesus woven through every word and every action in it. It is an encounter with this woman that is transformative in her life. And I believe that Jesus wants to have that kind of encounter in our lives. And I believe he wants us to have that kind of encounter in the lives of people around us. So I want to draw out three things about Jesus' love that we see interwoven through his interaction with this unnamed woman. And they are that Jesus' love is a stopping and seeing kind of love. That Jesus' love is a stopping and seeing and speaking kind of love. And that Jesus' love is a stopping and seeing, speaking and sending kind of love. And we're going to look at those three things together. So first of all, Jesus' love is a stopping and seeing kind of love. Jesus, in this story, is busy. If you keep the Mark 5 open on your laps in front of you and you flip back to the beginning of the chapter, you'll see he's just had this sort of overwhelming incident casting out the demons from this man, the incident with the pigs and all the commotion that caused. And he's got in the boat back over to the other side of the lake, probably just exhausted by all that has happened. And he meets this huge crowd on the lake shore as he comes back. And everyone is bustling around him, wanting to see him, wanting to ask him things. He is busy and hard-pressed. And most significant of those that are pushing around Jesus is this man, Jairus, whose beloved daughter is desperately ill. And he begs Jesus to come to his house and see and heal his daughter. And so, out of compassion and love, off Jesus goes to Jairus' house. But if you look at verse 25, there's a sort of interruption into this story. We're introduced to this woman whose name we don't know. Her name isn't recorded in Scripture. But we learn something of her story. We know that she is in pain, that she has suffered from bleeding constantly for 12 years. that her situation is getting worse, that she has spent all the money that she had on medical care and has not received good or effective care. She's desperate. The religious context is important here because the fact that this woman was bleeding would have classed her as ritually unclean. If she had had family, she would have not been able to live with them. No one would have touched her for all that time. It's possible she may have been divorced because of her inability to produce children. She would have been excluded from an act of public worship. And yet this unnamed woman, in all her desperation, slips into the crowd unnoticed. Now, as we've said, Jesus is on his way. He's got important business. He's got a place he's got to be, and time is running out. But this woman thinks, if I can just touch the hem of his cloak, that will be enough, and I will be healed. And she's so desperate, she is willing to risk touching other people on the way to touching Jesus's cloak. And as she touches his cloak, just the hem of his cloak, she is healed. Now, when this happened, Jesus stops and he turns around, it says in the text, and he says, "Who touched me?" Now, in many ways, that's a crazy question to ask. And the disciples say that. What do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? Everybody's touching you. You're in the middle of a crowd. But Jesus knew that someone had touched him in faith. And so he stops. Move on, the disciples say. We haven't got time. Remember Jairus, remember his daughter, move on. But Jesus' love means that he stops and he sees. "Who touched me?" he asks. And he seeks her face out of a crowd of people he doesn't know. And he finds her and he looks. And he truly sees this woman. He wants to hear her story. He wants to fully see her, to understand her story, her pain, her situation. He stops his important business and he sees, because that is what the love of Jesus does. Gavin, my husband, is a GP, you may know, and in his surgery he has a few pictures or sort of Christian things on the wall that he likes to have so that, you know, his patients know that he's a Christian. And one of them is just a very small picture that has a verse from Matthew's Gospel that just says, "He cares for you." The problem being that once an elderly patient with failing eyesight came to see him and stared with horror at this picture because she thought it said, "He comes for you," which is possibly the last thing you want to read in the GP surgery. But actually, this story has "He cares for you" written all over it. Jesus stops and he sees. Because he cares for this woman. And we need to pause for a minute and reflect on how radical this encounter with this unnamed woman is. This is no political Photoshop, you know, photo opportunity, you know, look at me amongst the poor. This is pure compassion, and this is radical what Jesus does. Because this woman touching him would have declared him too ritually unclean. And yet Jesus stops and allows her to touch him and sees and hears her full story. And the starting point of reflecting on the love of Jesus in our lives, I believe, is this recognition that Jesus sees us. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know that Jesus sees you? Whatever your week has been, I've had a pretty awful week, if I'm honest. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus sees me. And he sees you in whatever situation we are in our brokenness, in whatever we are going through. He sees us. But there is also a challenge here as we reflect on Jesus' love. Who are we stopping to see? I think one of the challenges for many of us in London life is just how busy we are. Every minute of my day is allocated to something. I rush for the train at 7 o'clock in the morning. I go to work. I need to be back to pick the kids up from school and feed them and take them to their activities. There isn't a lot of time for stopping and seeing, and it's a challenge. Who is Jesus asking me along the way to my important things to stop and see? Because Jesus' love is a stopping and seeing kind of love. But more than that, Jesus' love is a stopping and seeing and a speaking kind of love. Jesus could have just felt that the power had left him, as the scripture says, and known that this woman had been healed and moved on. And maybe if he'd done that, well, Jairus' daughter wouldn't have died. He could have just gone on and healed her as well. And at this point in his ministry, Jesus isn't wanting to draw attention to himself with things like resurrections. It's why he then sends everybody out of the room when he meets with the little girl. He doesn't want this kind of attention at the start of his ministry. So maybe from a strategic point of view, well, it would have been better just to move on and go where he had to be. But Jesus doesn't want to just heal this woman. He wants to speak life and grace to her as well. This so-called little side story on the way to the main event is not just a physical healing. It is a story of hope, of restoration, of life and grace. It shows us that beautiful thing that the love of Jesus is both word and action. And that is something we often struggle to hold together, word and action. Jesus wants this woman to be well in every sense of the word. Physically, emotionally, mentally, and in her soul. And that's why he seeks her out in the crowd and he looks her in the face and he says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is the only time in the whole Gospels that Jesus uses this word, daughter. This unnamed woman is not a nobody. She is a daughter. She is a daughter of the King. Daughter, he says to her. A term of love where there was rejection. A term of acceptance where there was shame. A term of belonging where there was loneliness. And this word and action is something I want us to reflect on this morning. What does it mean to love in action and in word? It's one of the reasons I love the ministry of CAP that we are involved with in the church here, because I think it holds those two things together. This offer of practical, loving, compassionate support when people are in need. But it also offers the word of life and the hope of Jesus to people. And for some of us, we struggle with the word bit. We find the action easier. It is easier to offer practical support, and it is good that we do that. To make meals for people when they are in need, to serve and to show that practical love. But here we see Jesus speaking and acting as the outpouring of his love for this woman. And I wonder where God is calling us to be bold in showing his love in words for people, in offering to pray for people, in offering to share something of the hope that we have found in Jesus in our lives. Because in Jesus you see word and action going together, and one without the other will be poorer for it. Jesus' love is a stopping and a seeing and a speaking kind of love. But as well as those things, Jesus' love is a stopping, seeing, speaking, and sending kind of love. Jesus' love sends this woman out from this encounter with a new sense of identity, a new sense of purpose and being. He does not want her to live her life in the same way that she has been captive to this shame and this exclusion, her suffering. He wants her to be free. And actually that word peace is from the Greek word sozo, that we get salvation. It's a really rich word in the New Testament that encompasses all of human life, of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual life. And so when he says, go in peace, he is wanting her to live a life of restoration and of hope and of purpose. And Jesus speaks peace into this woman's life. And he speaks faith into fear and anxiety in this woman's life. And this theme of faith, speaking faith into fear, is one of the common themes that comes up again in Mark's gospel. I encourage you, it's the shortest gospel, read it this week and reflect on how many times Jesus says, do not be afraid, but believe. He says it to the disciples when they're in the boat with him and the storm is raging and they're starting to panic. And he says, do not be afraid, just believe. He says it later on in this passage to Jairus. Even Jairus, faced with this tragedy of losing his daughter. And Jesus says, do not be afraid, believe. Jesus' love for this woman is that he speaks faith into fear. He speaks peace into her fear and her anxiety. I was talking with a colleague of mine this week who's a vicar up in the north of England, and he was sharing with me that he had felt overwhelmed by the number of young people in his church that asked for an appointment to meet with him to talk about how afraid they were and how much fear there was in people's lives. And we know, don't we, that we live in an increasingly anxious culture. Fear-mongering from the media never helps. We are fearful of political events and their implications. We're fearful of economic instability. We are fearful of our futures. We are fearful for our children. And ultimately, as a culture, we are fearful of death. We don't talk about it because we are afraid of it so often. And Jesus, in this passage, speaks faith. faith in Jesus, faith in the one who can calm the storm at a word, faith in the one who can raise this little girl from the dead, faith in the one who can bring healing to this unnamed woman. Jesus speaks faith into fear. 1 John 4:18, that beautiful verse that says, "There is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear." And that's what you see Jesus doing again and again in Mark's gospel. His perfect love driving out fear and anxiety. The love of Jesus speaks into places of fear and anxiety. And don't we live in a world where people need to know the love of God that speaks into their fears and their anxieties? Isn't that something that we need to know in all our very human fears and anxieties that we face? That the perfect love of Jesus drives out fear. And perhaps that is something you are needing to pray about today and to give to God. And there will be a time at the end of in a moment in some worship to come and just give those fears and anxieties to God, to maybe even just name them out loud, just to speak them in your hearts and ask for the love of Jesus to come into those fears. Or perhaps today it is something that you are needing to pray for someone that you know who is held captive by fear, to pray for them to know, "Daughter, go in peace. Son, go in peace." Those words that Jesus says. Jesus' love is ascending love. Jesus' love is always restorative. It sees God's good future for people. It sees this woman and it imagines the future she can have as a daughter in God's kingdom. It is a kind of commissioning love, a love that sends people out into God's plans and purposes for them. Some of you may know that we had the privilege of being able to go back to Uganda again this summer and visit some of the people that we had spent time with a couple of years ago. And some of the projects that we are involved with or we've got contacts with over there are projects who are helping children with special needs or disabilities, many of whom in Uganda would have a very bleak prospect for the future if they cannot work for themselves, to raise money to provide for themselves. And one of the most beautiful places we visited actually was on our last day, and we went to a special needs school that was run by the diocese in Makono. And we visited in this school this craft workshop where these children, some of whom with really serious disabilities, were being taught crafts and practical skills so that in the future they would hopefully be able to make something that they could provide for themselves. I've got one of the bracelets that was made by some of these children in this beautiful school. And it was really moving, actually, to see the love and the care that the staff had for these children. And it just struck me as being such a beautiful picture of the fact that in God's kingdom we all have a place and a part to play. Regardless of our abilities, regardless of how we match up on certain checklists or performance registers, that there is something that we can all offer and bring. And Jesus sees in this woman that she is a daughter, that she has a place in the kingdom, that there is a life of peace and wholeness and restoration for this woman to live. And I wonder, what do we see as God's future for those of us around us, those who are stuck in desperate and difficult situations? Where can we pray for the imagination and the hope to see what God could do in their lives, what he can do in our own lives? So how can we grow more in the love of Jesus? This stopping, seeing, speaking, sending kind of love. As I said at the beginning, it is a work of the Spirit. And we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives. And just start asking, God, where are you calling me to stop and see this week? What are the people or the situations that are around me in my life already where you are calling me to stop and see? How can I make room in my life for some stopping and seeing, Lord? That's one of the questions I'm asking myself. Where and who are you asking me to speak your words of grace and love to? And where are you asking me to send people out to live a life of peace and hope? And in all this, we know that at the heart of it is that Jesus sees us. That Jesus stops and sees us, even today. And that it is out of receiving his love for us that we are able to share that love with those around us.